I tell you how you can know that. Make a trip up Calvary's mountain.
Amen.
And it won't leave any doubt in your mind. You ever been to Calvary?
Amen.
You'll never forget it.
Amen.
I've been a few places in the world I'll never forget, and I've been a few places I wish I could forget.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, Calvary's one place I've never forgotten, don't want to forget it.
Amen.
I hope God lets me leave this world with a sound mind. Amen. And that's right.
Amen.
I want to remember the good grace of God when it comes time to pillow my head in death. Amen. I got up out of the bed this morning and a thought struck me. I was standing there by the bed and I said, Lord, chances are I'll either die in this bed or in a bed at the Veterans Hospital in Nashville or at the Veterans Center in Hanson. Maybe my final resting place. But to God may take me some other way as well. But whatever He wants to do is all right. I just wish He'd sound a trumpet right now and get us out of this mess. Amen. Somebody said the only reason you want to leave here is to get out of this mess. I'm going to tell you that's a pretty good reason. That's right. Nobody likes to live in a mess. Who likes to live in a, who is saved that enjoys living in a hog pen? That's about all this world is today, is a hog pen. It's a cesspool. We used to call septic tanks when I was a boy cesspools. That's about all it is, a cesspool of sin and ungodliness. There ain't much left in this world for a child of God, I'll tell you that. The only thing we got in this world is the work and the ministry of Christ.
Amen.
That's right. All right. Well, 1 John chapter number 2, when you find your place in verse 29, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 29, we'll close out this chapter. You read my little part in the bulletin this morning. It's kind of like closing out another chapter in your life. Close out one chapter of life and begin another one. Close out the chapter in high school, you're getting married and you start another chapter. You have your first child and you close out one chapter and open up another chapter. Then you start growing older and get a little old and you close another chapter. And then you open up another one and have grandchildren and you close another one. It just goes right on down the line. And chapter after chapter. And one chapter closes and another one opens, and one of these days God will close that last chapter of life.
Amen.
And we'll say goodbye down here and good morning over there. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 29. And the reason I'm just reading the one verse, I've been preaching this verse by verse. I think you're well acquainted with it and the context and what we've been preaching down through it so far. But John says here, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What a wonderful statement that is. You pray as I try to bring the message, just a little old feeble message that I hope will be a source of encouragement to you as a child of God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we was able to rejoice just a little this morning in the house of God. Thank you for the space of liberty you gave. And the good singing this morning has blessed my heart. Thank you, Lord, for letting our family be here today with us. And thank you, Lord, for the church family. I pray you'll bless Brother Steve and Miss Angie as they travel. Give them a good time together on vacation. These that we mentioned that are sick this morning, those in hospitals, those that are aging, those that have got difficulties of life, I pray for them. Then, Lord, we do pray that you'd be merciful to sinners today and save them. You still have that power. Grace, the grace of God is still sufficient to save any sinner that will call upon your precious name. I do pray, Lord, for the people of God that you'll refresh their heart. Revive us again that we might rejoice in thee. And as always, I pray for that fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. I realize without you, Lord, that's an impossibility for me to preach. So I pray you'll bless me, use me, help me to yield myself to you, surrender to you. And then, Lord, make me a blessing to the people of God, that we might leave here rejoicing in heart and spirit today And we'll thank you for all that is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse again. John said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Amen.
Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And I want to preach for a little while this morning. God will help me on this thought, use it as a title anyway. I don't know how near into the title we'll get, but I want to preach on this thought, gracious or graceless? Gracious or graceless? If we know that he is righteous, then we know that everyone that is born of him doeth righteousness, or everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, you notice how verse number 29 begins. It begins with a very small word. And the little word, if, is at the beginning of this verse. But it's not. Most of the time, we use the word if in as if it's a going into something that we doubt or something of unbelief. But that little word, if, is not a word of doubt, but rather it is one of certainty. It is not raising of a question, but an appeal to an established fact. John is simply saying, for as much as you are assured that he is righteous, then we may rest in this assurance that all that are born of him possess his righteousness also. And I would hope that everybody that is here today knows that he is righteous. I didn't take time to write them all down, but the Bible declares in many places in the Bible that Christ, our Lord Jesus, is righteous. In fact, it says in the book of Isaiah 53, he is called our righteous servant. And in 2 Timothy 4:8, he's called our righteous judge. In 1 John 5:2-1, he's called Jesus Christ the righteous. And in the Bible also, he's called the righteous branch. And so John is simply saying here that everyone that is saved by the grace of God has got enough spiritual sense that they know that the Lord is righteous. And then they also know that those that do righteousness, or those that doeth righteousness, are born of him. I want to say that is a good evidence of being born again if we live a righteous and a holy life for the honor and the glory of God. The term in verse 28, you remember where it said about speaks of abiding in him, is manifested by our submitting unto him and actually doing his revealed will. And in verse 29 is just a further word of discrimination, drawing of the line again between the gracious and the graceless professors. He's simply here drawing that line of demarcation again. All the way down through chapter 2, John has been dealing with those that are gracious, and he's been dealing with those that are graceless. He's been dealing with those that have truly been saved by the grace of God, and he's also been dealing with those who have made professions of faith in Christ, but absolutely possess nothing of the power and the Spirit of Almighty God. It announces one of the tests by which we may identify the regenerate and distinguish them from the unregenerate, namely by their conduct. Now, I want to say that one more time, that you can distinguish between the righteous and the unrighteous by their conduct. I'm telling you, friend, when a sinner gets saved by the grace of God, their conduct is changed. God sees to it. You don't have to try to change your conduct. God will change your conduct for you. There is one greater in you than he that is in the world. And there is one greater in you than what you are. that will control you. Amen. He'll govern your body, and He will lead you into a life of righteousness. I see so many people today that profess to be saved by the grace of God, but their conduct says something differently. When I got saved by the grace of God, rock and roll music went out the door. When I got saved by the grace of God, country and western went out the door. When I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't go to the honky-tonks anymore. I didn't go to the pool halls anymore. I was hauling something over to Steve and Tammy's on last night. Got my place over there, and it was just full of automobiles. I said, that place looks like a beer joint. And one of Doug's boys with me said, Pop said, that's a pool hall. They're in there, all of them in there playing pool. Well, I want to say when I got saved by the grace of God, now I'm not necessarily saying there's anything wrong playing pool in your house, but God got me out of the pool hall. I know what goes on in pool halls. They bet on that eight ball. Somebody say amen right there. And to me, gambling is a sin. I'm just simply saying by their conduct, you'll know them. When I got saved, I began to dress differently. Say, people dress differently. They act differently because they are different and they're distinguished from those that claim to be saved but are just simply professors of the Word of God who have had absolutely no saving grace in their life. Now, for this, for it is by the fruit which it bears that a tree is known. Our Lord said in Matthew 3:8, or John the Baptist rather said this, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Him, He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, I want to see something in your life that bears out the fact that you've repented of your sin and turned to Christ and been saved by the grace of God. I won't say, hey, I know I've read the Bible a little while, and I think sometimes we need to wait before we baptize people into the church and get a good look at their life and let them bring forth fruits that are meet for repentance. Amen. That's what John the Baptist told them. He looked at those Pharisees. He said, you don't have the right kind of fruit. You're not bearing the right fruit. You're not living a righteous life. You've not submitted to the will of God. You've not submitted to the work of will to the Word of God. You've not submitted to the work of God. Why do you come for baptism when you're still living in a life of sin? He said, go and bring forth some fruit for repentance, and then I will baptize you. Yes, amen. Somebody say amen right there. Matthew 7:16 again. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I've never gathered a grape yet off a thorn bush. That's right. I've never in my life got a fig off a thistle branch. They come off of fig trees. He simply said, by their fruits you'll know them. Hey, that tree, whatever it is, that's the kind of fruit that it's going to bear. And what we are in our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, issue come the issues of life. And I'm telling you, whatever's in there is what kind of conduct and what kind of life that we're going to be living for God. He says in Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, folks, that's a strong statement. A good tree cannot. He didn't say it might. He said it cannot bring forth evil fruit. And an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. That's a big distinction there. I've said this so many times, but there is as much difference in a lost person and a saved person as there is in daylight and dark. Somebody say amen right there. There's a vast difference. By their fruits you'll know them, and you'll know them because they cannot, a good tree cannot bear corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bear evil fruit. That's simply saying that somebody that's saved cannot live in sin, and somebody that is not saved cannot live without sin. Amen. They've been birthed into sin, brought into sin, and they'll live that sin until they're delivered from it. By the grace of God. Amen. Bible said in James 3:12. Bible said, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield forth salt water and fresh water. Amen. There has always been in Christendom Those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who are well versed in theology, but void of any sanctifying effects. They're filled with orthodox views, but their hearts have been unaffected by the gospel. Have you ever met anybody like that? That they know everything there is to know about the Bible. They've got an orthodox view of the Bible. They've been brought up around the Bible, but their hearts have never been changed. And I'm seeing this coming out of the schools of higher learning. Men coming out and going into the ministry who claim to be saved. And they've got doctrine not in the head right down the line, but they have never been affected in their heart by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand a man's mind has got to be affected, amen. But I'm telling you also, a man's heart has got to be changed by the grace of God, amen, if he is going to do righteousness. And that Bible said, if we know that he is righteous, then everyone that doeth righteousness, we know that they're born of God, amen. That's an emphatic statement from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to preach a little while to you, if you'll help me. Now, those who are such as those who said Paul spoke of in Colossians. Turn your Bible there. I ain't got to the message yet. Turn your Bible there to Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible said in Colossians 1 verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also since the day you heard of it. And knew the grace of God in truth. Now, if you can get a hold of that, Paul is simply saying that when you heard the gospel and was converted, from the day you were converted, it has brought forth righteous fruit in your life. No, that's right. You have learned to live a righteous and a holy life and bear gospel fruit. It says also in Hebrews chapter number 6. Turn your Bibles there. I'm going to read a little bit more to you. Hebrews chapter number 6. Now get to the message after this verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 6. He says, therefore, in verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they've crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put them to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth the blessing of God. Now here's where I want to make the distinction. I'll get into the message. And I'm not going to preach a hard message to you. I want to, some of you is drawn up because you think I'm going to skin your hide. I didn't come this morning to skin your hide. I come this morning to help you out. Amen. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. He said in verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars, that's that professing crowd. Yeah. That's that lost crowd. Yeah. That's that first church crowd. Yeah. That's that crowd in these liberal churches. Yeah. They make professions. They've got theology down right. Yeah. They're orthodox and everything, but their heart has never been changed. Yeah. That's why they have no problem sipping cocktails on the side. That's why they have no problem laying out of church and out of the house of God. That's why they see no problem in adultery and fornication and ungodly. Come on in the house. They see no problem with that. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Here's where I want to get to. But Paul said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Hallelujah to God. There's the difference. Paul said there is a crowd out there that all they bear is thorns and briars, and whose end is to be burned. But he said, I am persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Thanks be unto God for that little remnant that God has in the world. That things that accompany, hey, they have things that accompany salvation with them. Now I'm telling you, there are some things. We've got company in this life. Amen. There's some things that accompany us because we've been saved by the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. Amen. Come on and help me a little bit now. Somebody's making her rough on me this morning. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say number one, those that doeth righteousness walk in the right path. They walk in the right path. If we're saved by grace, if we know that He is righteous, then we know that they that doeth righteousness are born of God. Amen. Amen. That's the fine line that tells the difference. The sheep and the goat. The tares and the wheat. If we know that He is righteous, then we know that those that are doeth righteousness, they are born of God. And those that doeth righteousness will walk in the right path. I'll say number one, they'll walk in the path of life. The Bible said in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. What a blessing to know. When I was lost and on my way to hell, I wasn't in that pathway of life, but I was walking in that pathway of death. Dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without any hope in this world. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved me, even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. And like old Paul on the road to Damascus, He came to where you and I were on that wonderful morning, amen, and revealed Himself to us in all His power, all His grace, and all His glory, and by His omnipotent hand of mercy, rescued our soul from a perilous place, lifted us out of a horrible pit, set our feet on a solid rock, established our going, put a song in our mouth, and changed our life all over again. He brought us from a pathway of death into a path of life. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that because He's alive today, you and I that are saved by the grace of God can live also. Is anybody listening? I'm telling you, they that doeth righteousness walk in a right path. And that right path is a path of life. Friend, if you're here today lost, you're still in the pathway of sin and death. Amen. Without God and without any hope in this world. And it'd be my plea with you today to flee from the wrath to come and lay hold upon eternal life. Hallelujah to God. Let God rearrange your life. To get on that path of life, He'll have to rearrange your life. Amen to God. I don't visit the same places I used to go. I don't go to the movie houses no more. Thank God. I don't go to the movie house. I go to God's house. Amen. There's a lot of these politicians today visiting the whorehouse. I don't go to the whorehouse. I go to God's house. I'm just telling you, friend, I once was dead, but now I'm alive in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And He put me in the path of life. Amen. That's right. That ought to make a dead Presbyterian shout. Amen. That's right. Instead of sitting like knots on logs. To know that He's put you in the path of life. May I say number two, He's not only the righteous, or not only walking in a path of life, But they walk in the path of light. The Bible says in Psalm 19:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word sheds light along our way. I once was in darkness. I was blinded by sin. I was on a dark path. But thanks be unto God, when I got converted, I got on a path of light. And the love of God sheds its beams along the way and lights the pathway for me. Some ways I've never been, but He knows the way. He'll never lead us down a path that He's not been there before. Amen. When the children of Israel got into Egypt, God was down there waiting for them. Amen. When they come into the Red Sea, God was there waiting for them. When they crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness, God was there waiting for them. While they walked 40 years through the wilderness, God was there with them. Amen. When they come to the Jordan River and crossed at Gilgal, God was there with them. When they went up against Jericho, God was with them. When they went into the Promised Land, God was there with them. I'm telling you, His love shed light beam by light beams along the way. Hallelujah. He'll lighten the way. Amen. He'll preserve every step that He takes, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that light will never let you fall into a snare, and that light will never let you fall into a path. It'll lead you all of the way in life. Hallelujah. Amen. We got any brave souls in here this morning? Brother Joe, run back there and turn these lights out.
Amen.
Turn them all out. It's pretty dark in here, can't it? Well, with these windows, it'd be darker than that. Now, I'm telling you, those that are unrighteous, I can just barely tell that's Brother Robert back there. But I guarantee if that light wasn't burning, them doorways were shut off and these windows were blocked, you couldn't tell who was who in here. That's the way it is with a sinner that's in darkness. He don't know who's who, what's what, which way he's going. How can you know the way if you're walking in darkness? You can't. But once that light switch is turned on, amen, and God sets you on a path. His word is a light unto our feet and a light unto our path all the way that we're traveling. It would behoove all of us this morning to get into the Word of God and let it shed light beam along the pathway that we're traveling in this life. Hallelujah. And then when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, all it'll be is a shadow. You know why all it is a shadow? Turn them lights back on, Brother Joe. You know why it's a shadow of death? You ever stop and give thought that it takes light to make a shadow?
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. That tells me there's going to be a light in that valley of death with us. Oh, yes, there's going to be a light in there with us. It's just a shadow. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. It's just a shadow, ladies and gentlemen, because the light of the Word of God will shed light beams along our way. Amen. They that doeth righteous walk in the right path. They walk in the path of life. Turn them on, Jerome. They not only walk in the path of life, they walk in the path of light. They also walk in the path of the Lord. Bible said in Micah 4:2, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His path.
Amen.
For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He said, you walk in the path of the Lord. Footsteps. We sang that old song this morning. Of walking in the light, walking in the light. And we're in the light because we're in His path. And we're walking with the Lord. I won't say number two. Those that doeth righteousness, not only walk in the right path, but they feed in the right pasture. Hallelujah to God. You get a man truly saved with the grace of God, he knows where the spiritual food's at. He's going to eat in that right pasture. That Bible said in Psalm 23, 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah to God. When I got saved, I quit eating briars and thorns and thistles. He led me into His pasture. He is my shepherd. I'm grazing in the right pasture now. Amen. That's why I'm well nourished in the Word of God. He will feed our righteous soul and make us wax fat. Somebody say amen right there. Maybe I can get some response out of somebody on something this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. We'll feed in the right pasture. We won't feed out in the world. The devil's pasture. We'll feed in the shepherd's pasture. Hallelujah. Makes us to lie down in green pasture. Green, that means it's a living pasture. And it gives life. Green is a symbol of life. Have you noticed outside how the grass has got green? The leaves have turned green. The trees are turning, the leaves are turning green. You know why? Because in the wintertime, the sap goes down and they virtually die from the root up. But when they turn green, that's a sign of life. When He makes us to lie down in that green pasture, that's a sign of life, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad I'm feeding today in the right pasture. Somebody say amen right there. I'm trying to, Brother Jerome. I'm trying to. Now, there's satisfaction in that pasture. Notice He said in verse 1, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Satisfied. I want to say to you, I'm satisfied in this life Christ has given me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm satisfied in church.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with the old hymns of the faith. I'm satisfied with the Lord. In fact, like that woman at the well, I'm well satisfied. Amen to God. He's made me to lie down in green pasture. I'm not a longing for the world. I'm longing for that heavenly home.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not longing for ungodliness, but my heart reaches out for a righteous life. A righteous life.
Amen.
I want my colors to be clear. Don't you? I'll get somewhere in a minute. If I keep digging, I'll find the hole. I want my colors to be clear. I want folks to know who I am. Brother Doug, preacher this morning, talked about a portrait of the gospel. He said people can look at you and tell just by looking, basically, whether you're a child of God or a child of the devil. And I say amen to that. There's a whole lot of truth in that. I want my colors to be clear, friend.
Amen.
I want folks to know that I'm satisfied with the life that He's given me. He has justified me and made me righteous, and I want my righteous life to shine before men that they might see the righteousness of God in me.
Amen.
Boy, am I trying. Praise God. Anybody in here mad this morning? Anybody have a fight with their husband or wife before they come to church? Anybody come mad at anybody else? Anybody come stewed up? All right. There's... Amen. Somebody put on the brakes? Somebody come unsatisfied? Somebody come wishing you somewhere else? That's the whole point of things. There's satisfaction in that pasture. Then I want to say there's serenity in that pasture. He said, He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Amen.
We're settled and quiet. we're lying down and we're beside still water. Now, it ain't no, it's no secret around here. Everybody calls Miss Sharon back there Spaz. I mean, she's not too, most of the time, she's not too settled. She's kind of the nervous type. But God makes us to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
Leads us beside still waters.
Yes, sir.
That pasture that we're feeding in is one of serenity.
Amen.
We ought to be able to come to the house of God.
Yes, sir.
With a serene heart, knowing that God is going to spread the table for us.
Amen.
And protect us from predecessors.
Amen.
And feed us on the Word of God, that we may go home, leaving this place, having feasted and dined at the table of God, and leave here rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And thanking God, saying in our heart that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Now, God, I'm afraid we're going to leave here today saying it wasn't too hot to be there this morning. I'm going to tell you, my mama said there'd be days like this, but she didn't say there'd be so many of them so close together.
Amen.
Whose pasture are you dining in?
That's right.
Are you settled and calm this morning, or are you worried to death? Most Baptists that I know are worried sick about something.
Yeah.
Worried about how we're going to pay our bills.
Yeah.
Worried about our family life. Worried about our home life. Worried about our children. We're worrying about everything and wringing our hands, and it'll show up one of these days. Some of you come in here with raw hands. Somebody say amen right there. Them raw hands will turn to, what do you call them things when they get calluses? Your hands will be calloused from rubbing them together and worrying so much. Praise God, you got a haircut. We ought to be having revival. We ought to be in revival. That boy got a haircut. Here we are, sitting here half dead, twice plucked up by the roots.
Amen.
Brother Andy got a haircut. Even shaved. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Andy got his ears lowered. We ought to be in revival. I'm going to tell you, us Baptists are the worst in the world for worrying. But God said if He'd feed the sparrows,
amen,
that He'd feed you and I, and He said, how much more are you worth much more than many sparrows? I'll never forget that story Dr. Seidler told years ago. Said he was up in Kingsport, I don't know if it was Virginia or Tennessee, Tennessee. Preaching a revival meeting. He said he got up one cold, bleak winter morning. Said it's an industrial town. There was a lot of clouds from the industry in the sky. It was a cloudy, overcast day. Said he walked down to McDonald's and got him a sandwich. And said as he sat there by the window, he saw a man pick up a sandwich. And said he walked. And said he was just long blue, had the blues, wanted to go home, didn't want to be there, was ready to leave and go back home already. And he had just got there. And he said he sat there and he, you know, he got one of them pity parties. The Lord don't love me no more. Ain't nobody here like that, are they? Lord don't love me no more. I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. Said he got one of them little pity parties and just got stewed all up, you know. And said, here come a man, come in and bought something to go. And said he walked out and opened up, looked at it. Said he throwed it down on the ground and just walked off. Said it wasn't long until there were several little sparrows over there around that piece of bread, sticking their little beaks down in that warm bread. Said the steam was still rolling up of that warm bread. And said the Lord said to him and said, Harold, if I feed them little sparrows, how much more will I take care of you?
Amen.
He said he went to the service that night and said, I preached like a novice. Because God showed me that if He'll take care of a bird, He'll certainly take care of one of them that belong to Him. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And He will take care of us.
Amen.
If we're righteous as He is righteous,
amen,
we know that we've been born of Him. Hallelujah. And we know if we've been born of Him that God will take care of His own.
Amen.
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 That's right. David said, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread.
Amen.
God will take care of you. Billy Kelly, you said put the angels on half rations to take care of one of his own on earth.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He fed Israel with angels' food.
Right.
Amen. Give a man out of heaven. Yes. Brought water out of the rock.
Yes.
He even said in the Psalms, you can suck honey out of the rock.
Yes.
So if there's anybody in here today that's bitter, go to the Rock of Ages. He'll sweeten your soul. Is there anybody in here weary this morning? He'll drop you some hot manna out of heaven. Anybody in here thirsty this morning? He'll send water out of the rock. Even out of the flinty rock, he'll bring water. Like a river, he'll bring water for his people.
Amen.
That's right. That's his wonderful name. Thank God. Settled and quiet. Sure and quiet. He said in Isaiah 32:18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation.
Amen.
And in a sure and in sure dwellings. And in a quiet resting place. What a God we have. Amen. I'm sure and quiet. We can this morning. Be still and know that He is God.
Amen.
One of our problems is running our mouth all the time. We learn to be still sometime.
Amen.
We'll know that God, He is God. Amen. Let God reveal Himself. Let Him magnify His power in your life. Amen. Let Him lead you into green pastures.
Amen.
Let Him satisfy you with the right diet. Amen. Let Him send peace and tranquility to your soul. When He got ready to ascend back to heaven, He said, my peace I give unto leave with thee. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Hey, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Thank God, there's peace. Songwriter said, there is peace in the valley for me someday. I've got news for the songwriter. Praise God. There can be peace now. Amen. We don't have to wait till we get in the valley someday. There's peace right now for all of us. His peace, He has left us. His peace is given unto us. Amen. And it's not a phony peace. It's real. Not a temporal peace. Oh, you can have peace in the world for a little while if the money's coming right.
Right.
All the bills are paid. And everything's right with mama in the house. But when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Maybe a mama in here ain't happy this morning. Maybe a papa in here ain't happy this morning. Sometimes when pappy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. That's right. Peaceable habitation. A sure dwelling. If we know that He is righteous, then we also know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. And if you're doing right today, if you know you're doing right, then you have the assurance, you have a surety that you've been born of Him. And if you've been born of Him, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There can be no principalities, no powers, no rulers in this world, or no rulers in the world to come, nothing. No angels, not depth nor height. There is nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. And therefore we can live in peace and live in quiet and not in turmoil all the time. I'm telling you, come on now, listen to me a minute. The world out there has got us in turmoil. That's our problem. We've got our eyes on the world and the situation of life, and it has put us in a tizzy. In a turmoil. You'd be surprised at the people that's more concerned about the stock market than they are about their soul. I'm serious. There's folks concerned about the stock market that give no concern at all about their soul. There's people probably in this room right here that have more concern about your job than you have about your own soul. We can live in peace.
Amen.
He will provide.
Amen.
For His own.
Amen.
In shady green pastures, God leads His dear children along.
Amen.
Now I want to say there's also sanctification in that pasture. It said, it leadeth me, and here it is, in paths of righteousness. If you know that He is righteous, then you know that He that doeth righteousness is also born of Him. Amen.
Amen.
He leadeth us in paths of righteousness. Thank God. Hey, we're justified, church. If I could sing, I'd sing that song for you. I wish Brother Ronnie Waters was here. I'd love to hear him sing, "I'm Justified." What was that guy's name? Benny in Tabernacle sang it and jumped up and down. Pierre Austin. I've seen old Brother Pierre Austin in Tabernacle get to singing, "I'm Justified." When he'd get to that part, he'd beller out, "I'm Justified," and he'd start springing up and down on the pulpit. Justified!
Yes.
That's what it means to be righteous. It means to be justified.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. He leads us in paths of righteousness because He has justified us. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm justified. Somebody said it means that we're just like we've never sinned. I've got news for you. Now I know some of you are going to fall out with me on this. We're justified. We're just not like we have never sinned. Some of you are going to fall out here. If we're justified, it's not like we have just like we hadn't sinned. If we're justified, we haven't sinned. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" Because your sins and your iniquities, God said, "I will remember no more." That's not like you just didn't sin. You don't have sin.
Amen.
Now somebody's going to fall out with me on that. And I'm telling you, there is an inner man in you that is perfect. Without sin.
Amen.
But this old man, this outer man,
amen,
this fleshly man, we got to battle him every day. But
amen,
thanks be unto God,
amen,
we're able to overcome.
Amen.
Because greater is He that's on that new man than he that's on the outside.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Now, I'm about to get to the last point. It's been difficult this morning. Those that doeth righteousness walk in the right path. Those that doeth righteousness feed in the right pasture.
Amen.
And those that doeth righteousness are going to a beautiful palace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're going to heaven someday.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." If it were not so, God, Jesus said, "I'm not a liar. If it wasn't exactly like I'm telling you, if it were not so, I would have told you. But He said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now somebody said the place He's going to prepare is not those mansions. The mansions are already there. I won't fall out with nobody about that. But I want to say to you this morning, it makes no difference whether what He is referring to, "I go to prepare a place," whether it's the mansions or something else. They're all prepared of God.
Amen.
For all things are of God. Whether those mansions He went to prepare or whether a place He went to prepare, they've all been prepared by Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine A place I sit in. Whose builder and maker is God. No human hand touched it. No earthly materials formed it. It's made out of heavenly material by a divine God, specially prepared a palace for those that He has justified by His marvelous grace and granted them faith unto repentance that they might enjoy that wonderful place called heaven. While the lost are twisting and turning in hell without God and without hope. While the lost are in pain and misery. While the lost are in suffering. While the lost are in darkness. We're in light. While the lost are in tempest. We're in a quiet, solitary place in glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It don't make any difference whether that place He prepared or whether it's the mansions. He prepared them both. Whatever they are. I've heard a couple of, you know what will make it beautiful there? It's beautiful because He prepared it. He never does anything ugly. He never builds anything that is ugly. And you might look at old Brother Hall and say, well, He made you and you're pretty ugly. Somebody out, Brother Sutton's told me that on kids' web page, they said that there's a tall, ugly preacher from Kentucky. Miss Hall said she thought I was good looking. So I don't care what that fellow down there thinks. I'm not married to him.
Right.
Hope to God. Nobody, no other man's married to him. But in this generation, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful because He prepared it. I'm going to tell you, when you go to the mirror and look in the mirror in the mornings, all you see is that old outward vessel of clay. But if you've been justified, if you're righteous, there is a beautiful work of grace that's been done on the inside of you.
Amen.
Man can't see it, but beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, Jesus does not look at the outward appearance, but He looketh on the heart. Now I'm telling you, as we stand there and behold this old outward body that is vanishing away from us. It's passion.
Right.
But thank God there's an inward person, an inward work that is renewed by God day by day.
Amen.
We're not just going to a land where we'll never grow old. There's already a work done within us. Prepared by God that shall never grow old. Amen. Though we shed this outward body and it perish from our bones, yet that which it houses, that which it clothes, will rise in the sky to meet the Lord. Hallelujah, some glorious day. And it's not something ugly, but it's a beautiful work prepared by Almighty God. Now I'm telling you, eyes not seen, ears not heard, and neither has it entered in the heart of man what God hath in store for him. And I'm persuaded that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with those things that God has in store for us. And love Him, I'm telling you, if you're righteous this morning, if you know that He is righteous, then you also know that they that are righteous are born of Him. Hallelujah. He can't birth unrighteousness. Every tree bears its kind, and righteousness bursts righteousness. So if you're saved this morning, you're righteous.
Amen.
There's a beautiful work in you, but there's also a beautiful place prepared somewhere over on the other side. I've not seen it yet, but by faith,
amen,
I see it afar. There's a land that's fairer than day, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that God has prepared for His righteous saints. For those that have been to Calvary. For those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. For those that have trusted in Him. Confessed their sin and laid all their sin upon Him.
Amen.
And let Him carry them up Calvary's hill and there alone between two thieves. Suffer and bleed and die. That you might go free.
Yep.
that you might be justified, that you might be made righteous, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a wonderful God.
Yes, amen.
Somebody said, you really believe there's a place over there? Oh, yes.
Amen.
I'm going to read in chapter 22 of Revelation in a minute, and I might read the whole chapter. Some of you may have never read it. Some of you may never know what's waiting for you on the other side.
Amen.
But it's beautiful because He's prepared it.
Amen.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I want to say number two. It's beautiful because of His presence.
Amen.
He's there.
Yep.
That where I am, there you may be also. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by we shall meet, if you're saved, on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to see Jesus on the other side. Hallelujah to God. He doesn't dwell in an ugly mansion. Somebody said, how do you know? Because the Bible said that He's altogether lovely. Amen. Have you seen Him? By faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you doing righteous? Do you know that He is righteous? Do you know that everyone that is born of Him doeth righteousness? Let us examine ourselves this morning. And finally, it's beautiful because there is no pollution. No sin there. Let me read for you. I might just read it all and close. And He showed me a pure river of water of life.
Amen.
Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded a fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse.
Woo! Amen.
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads.
Amen.
There shall be no more night there. They need no candle, neither light of sun. I'm in chapter 22.
Amen.
Neither light of sun. It says in chapter 21 and verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb, Book of Life. There's not going to be anything there to pollute it.
Amen.
Nothing defile it. How beautiful heaven's going to be.
Yep.
Some wonderful day we're going there.
Amen.
By the good grace of God. Like Brother Shepherd and them said, they got a father over there, got a mother over there, got a brother over there. I got a sister over there. I've got a father, got a mother, got a brother, got a sister, got a brother, got a cousin. Praise God, I got a half a dozen.
Amen.
Don't you want to go there?
Amen.
To go, you got to be righteous.
Amen.
And to be righteous, you've got to be born of Him. Let's stand together. I've tried to preach, but I swear it's been so scattered.
Amen.
I don't know if I accomplished anything or not.